to take notes. We encourage you to look up the scriptures. We encourage you to take these things and to learn from them. Of course, as we said last week, our goal and desire is to help you to be better able rightly divide the word of truth, as the Bible says. So that's our goal and our desire, and our prayer is that it be helped to you. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. 16 through 21, the Bible says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, and there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and till the day star rise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." For verse 21, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Father, we again thank you, Lord, for what you've done tonight. Ask for your blessing on the service. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to focus on the Word. God, we need your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Continuing on here in, again, this Bible doctrines, looking at bibliology. Again, if you're taking notes, bibliology is the study of the Bible. Now, we start off with this particular doctrine. And, church, I want you to know that it's important that we know, again, why we look at the Bible for our sole authority for faith and practice. I do not have a final authority concerning our faith, concerning what we believe and how we have church. It comes from the Word of God. And it is critical today, even more today. And sometimes people say, well, you know, is that really important? You know, give me messages that only encourage me. Give me messages that lift my spirit. Friend, again, we mentioned last week that we don't want to see you tossed about and turned about with every wind of doctrine. I desire to have a church that is solid in the Word of God, that is rooted in the Word of God, that can take their Bible and say, no, that ain't right according to the Word of God. We mentioned last week how we are supposed to try the spirits. Well, how do we know to try the spirits? Well, again, we look to the Bible to see if that's true. We look to the Bible to see if that's correct. And part of the vision, church, let me share this with you. Understand that the Bible tells me as a pastor to be diligent to know the state of the flock, right? So that means that I have a responsibility to understand where the consensus of the church is spiritually speaking. Now, in any given church, especially as we have seen God bless when people have recently come to know Christ, people have recently been baptized, and people have recently joined the church, and then if there's been people that's been here for a very, very long time, been saved for a long time, been in church all or most of their lives, there's always a balance there of some younger Christians and some Christians who have just been in the faith for a while, still serving God, praise the Lord. But no matter where you're at spiritually, whether you recently been saved, it's critical to know the doctrines of the Word of God. It's critical to know why we put so much emphasis on the Bible. Or whether you're new or whether you've been saved for a while, it's important for you to be reminded of those things. And even some conversations that I have with people, they might would say, you know, Pastor, I've never even been through a study or preaching or teaching of anything like that. So either way, that's part of our duty. And the end goal is that we have to think, in 5 years from now, what kind of Christians is Florence Baptist Church producing? Amen? Now, we always want to follow the Lord. We always want to be a help. And, you know, that's why the Bible tells us specific things. When he told Timothy to preach the word, and then he gave him a lot of things concerning what we preach. But we are concerned with how we're going to be in 5 years or 10 years. And also, it's important to understand that, you know, as we continue to grow in the Lord, the other reason is that you can also help other people as well. It's not just for our personal benefit. Always remember, we serve the Lord by serving other people. And so the other goal is that we can eventually help other people. Now, what we're looking at tonight, church, and really just two main questions. Number one, we're going to look at who wrote the Bible. And second of all, we're going to look at how is the Bible different from any book, any other book? And so let's look at those two things tonight. First of all, when we talk about who wrote the Bible, and, you know, one of the criticisms that I've heard, and understand that no matter how much we know or how much we teach, how much we study, or even how much something somebody's heard, there's always people on the outside that are critics of the Word of God. Now, let me remind you of something that's very important principle to understand, church. Do you know who started that questioning the Word of God? That came from the devil himself. From the Garden of Eden, he said, "Yea, hath God said." And so understand that it is the devil's goal to cause doubt in God's Word. That is nothing new. This is not something new that we're dealing with today. Ever since the beginning of creation, the devil has always tried to cause people to doubt the Word of God. So why is it such an important issue? Because if people can make the excuse, well, I don't believe the Bible, or I don't believe that it's accurate, or I don't believe that it's right, or I only believe part of it, then they can say that, well, if I don't believe it, then I don't have to be accountable to it. That's not actually true, but maybe that's a conclusion that they have come to in their own mind. Well, the Bible's not right, so I don't have to live by what the Bible says. I remember one time sitting in a hospital room trying to visit a family, a relative who had a few short days left of life, and the lady's son was there, and I never said a word. I was just there to be an encouragement. I was there to pray, but sometimes it's funny how people get convicted by your presence, and he said, "You know, Pastor, I believe most of that Bible." And, of course, that bothered me a little bit. I'll be honest, friend, either you believe all of it or none of it, right? You can't just start to say, well, I believe that part of the Bible and I don't believe this part of the Bible, right? Hey, the Word of God is not a buffet. You go to a buffet. Who goes to the Golden Corral? Some of y'all? I know you all went recently. Brother Silcott waved. That sounds like that might be a blessing to him. We've been there, Brother Grant. We've been over, ain't we? We've been to Golden Corral. You know what I like about buffets? You eat whatever you want to eat. Am I right, Brother Corn? I mean, you just go through. You can cherry pick. Well, you know, I think I'll double down on that. I'll go ahead and pass the salads. I'll go ahead and pass the greens tonight. That's not what I'm feeling, right? You can literally go through and pick whatever you want. Friend, let's not ever get to the place where we treat the Word of God that way. Hey, there's things that I read that bother me. You know why? Because it convicts me of sin in my life, right? Sometimes my spirit gets ugly. Sometimes I have a bad attitude. Sometimes I have said things that I know I shouldn't say, and I start to read the Bible, and I'm like, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, woo, that steps on my toes a little bit, right? But we have to get back to understand that what this gentleman had said, I believe part of that, Pastor, I don't believe all of it. You know what he wanted to believe? He wanted to believe the part that said that he was saved and on his way to heaven. But he didn't want to believe the other parts that went contrary to the lifestyle that he had, or the lifestyle that he was living. Now, isn't that convenient, right? Everybody wants to believe that they're going to heaven. You know, I have never heard anybody talk about how much of a Christian somebody was until they passed away, right? And, you know, sometimes you wonder, and I'm not trying to be mean, church, but sometimes you wonder, you know, that's funny, I never even seen them in church. You know, that's funny, I never even heard them proclaim their or share Christ. I've never heard them say that they were even saved. I never even heard them have any claims to Christianity at all. All of a sudden, they were great men and women of faith, right? But what I'm saying, friend, is that we can't sit here and start to decide which parts of the Bible that we're going to believe in and which we're not. But getting back to this, that is one of the criticisms that people often say, well, it was written down by men. But did you notice the text in verse number 21? The prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but by who? But holy men of God spake as they were moved by who? The Holy Ghost. The Bible tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment, because we literally believe in the plenary inspiration of Scriptures. When we talk about plenary, it's full, it's accurate, without error, but then also inspired and it's in God breathed. So as God moved holy men of God, they were the ones who pinned down the copies of the Bible that we have today. So first of all, let's share a few scriptures with that thought tonight. We read here in 2 Peter. Let's also look in Psalms chapter 68 and verse 11. Psalms chapter 68 and verse 11. The Bible says, the Lord gave what? The word. Great was the company of those that published it. It's important to note, the Bible says the Lord gave the word. In 1 Corinthians 2.13, 1 Corinthians 2.13, and again, Brother Dana has the scripture, so you can see him here on the screen, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Galatians 1.11 says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. You know, when I stand to preach the Word of God, friend, I have nothing to preach and say about myself. I have no good story to tell about myself. The only thing good that is in me is what Jesus has done in me, right? So our goal and our objective is not to tell you about me, but about the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 1:12 further says, for neither I received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of who? Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1:1 says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. So there's God speaking unto the fathers by the prophets. Acts chapter 1 and verse 16. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs be fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. Notice it says the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David. So the answer is simple. We know that there's approximately 40 different authors over the period of 1,500 years that wrote the 66 books of the Word of God, but they were all moved and inspired by the Holy Ghost. So there is your answer on who wrote the Bible. God is the author and finisher of our faith, church. Amen. Number two tonight, as we look at how is the Bible different from any other book, and we're going to spend most of our time on this particular subject or this particular thought. First of all, the Bible is different from any other book because the Word of God is eternal. The Word of God is eternal. In Psalms chapter 119 and verse 89, Psalms chapter 119 and verse 89, I'll give you a second because I want you to see that. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. You can't destroy the word of God. All through history, people have tried to destroy it. There's periods in history where they literally try to gather up each copy of the Bible and to burn the Bible and to burn the physical copies of the word of God. But friend, you can't destroy something that's eternal. The word is forever settled in heaven. Cannot destroy God's word. Okay? In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 25, but the word of the Lord endureth how long? Forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You know, it's funny when you think about history. You mentioned in history just a second ago. There's people that were remembered for things that they said, things that they did. And for example, maybe there's a certain president where you remember his words, or maybe there was a certain prominent figure that remembered those things. And I realize that they're parts of history and we remember those things. But you know, the truth of the matter is, eventually those things, unless they're actually looked at in a historical way, are simply forgotten about. I mean, it's sad to say, but when we lose people, I'm not saying that you don't care. Obviously, if it's a loved one to you, but, you know, you kind of stop thinking about people on a regular basis. You know, even myself, when I was about 11 years old, I lost an uncle that was very dear to me. And even though I miss him, I can't tell you that I think about him every day. I lost my grandfather several years ago. You know, I'm just mentioning a couple that were very personal to me. And even though I love my grandfather was a patriarch. He was the one that brought our family over here. to the United States on a work visa. My mom got her citizenship, and then I became the first American-born generation. If it wasn't for my grandfather, I don't know that I would be here. So he's a very special person to me. My oldest son, he took on the middle name of my grandfather, which was Gabriel. But, you know, as much as I love him, I can't tell you that I think about him every day. It doesn't mean that I don't care, but it just means that it's not in the forefront of my mind. That's generally what happens with man. But did you notice, friend, what the Bible says there? That the word of the Lord endureth forever. It's still, as we mentioned last week, the number one selling book, and I don't even like to refer to it as a book, but it's still the number one selling book that exists throughout the history of mankind. There's a reason for that. Isn't that ironic that, you know, it's probably the most beloved book ever written and yet hated, most hated book at the same time? So that's interesting to me. But nevertheless, the word of the Lord endureth forever. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 18 also tells us, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." So when we're talking about the jot and tittle, we're talking about the smallest letter of the alphabet and the smallest part of that letter. It's not going to pass away. It's not going to be removed. It can't be deleted. It can't be taken away. God's word is endureth forever. So first of all, the Bible is different because it's eternal. Second of all, the Bible is different because it is inspired. It is inspired. As we shared last week, and we're going to keep emphasizing this scripture. In fact, this is a scripture you ought to highlight in your Bibles. If you mark in your Bibles, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So the Bible is the inspired, as we have emphasized several times, Word of God. Thirdly, the Word of God is alive. Amen. This is a living book. This book speaks to you. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, you can't tell us that the Bible is not a living book when it has that kind of capability. And friend, I want to tell you some of the greatest services that I have ever been in church in my life. First of all, I can recall a couple. The first one that I can really bring to mind is when the Word of God was preached. And I heard a message. It wasn't even the main subject of the message that night, but the preacher shared some scripture about hell and hell being a real place. And the Word of God cut me that night. The Word of God helped me to realize that I was lost and on my way to hell, as was just described to me. And the Word of God helped me to understand that I was a sinner. And I came to the place I realized, you know what? I am hopeless without Christ, and I must accept Christ as my personal Savior and repent of my sin. That was done by the Word of God. Let me share with you another story that I remember. The first time I had the joy to lead a gentleman to the Lord in Spanish. I understand that I have very broken Spanish, and this gentleman had broken English, but I wanted to really share the Bible with him and what he would understand. And so I had an English Bible, or the, you know, King James Bible, but then on the right side was the Spanish. So I was literally just pointing, going through the normal Romans, but pointing to the scriptures in Spanish. Friends, I did not do a good job explaining the gospel message to him in Spanish. Do you know what convicted that man? Do you know what made him come to the place to realize he needed to be saved? The Holy Spirit and the fact that the Bible is a living book. The Bible spoke to this man's heart, and I understood enough when he prayed and asked God to repent him that he trusted Christ as his personal Savior. And you know what? It wasn't just a few short years later. That man actually did pass away, unfortunately. I found out that he had passed away. And a very sad story on how all that came about. but I'm glad to know where he's at tonight. Amen. So the Word of God is alive. Next, we know that the Word of God is pure. You ever read something and you think, well, that sounds a little corrupt, right? You know, today, we're also in a world of studies, right? Studies have shown this, and studies have shown that. And unfortunately, I have become myself skeptical of those because I believe that they can write studies to really show the data that they want them to show. So I question the source. I question their motive. I question their intent. And in my mind, when I read certain things, I question the purity of how that was written. Are you with me? Would you agree that we see that? In fact, sometimes when people tell me about all these studies, my response sometimes wants to simply be, studies have shown that your studies are wrong, right? And so that's neither here nor there. But what I am telling you, friend, is that often I do question their intent. I do question the pureness, and sometimes, frankly, they are just corrupt. But that's not the Word of God. In Proverbs chapter 30 in verse 5, Proverbs chapter 30 in verse 5, every word of God is pure. Let's look at that again. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Friend, listen. People can disappoint you by what they say. People can make promises, and you know, unfortunately, promises are broken. But friend, every word of God is pure. Every word of God is true. Every word of God is right. And so you can be sure that the Word of God is pure. The next reason why the Bible is different is that the Word of God is a guide. Amen? How many would agree that the Word of God is a guide? Let's look at Psalms 119, 105. Psalms chapter 119, verse 105. The Bible says, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I read this scripture, and something came to mind. I don't know how many of you all have ever, I know that there's a few hunters here, but the way that you hunt in Kentucky, and I know Brother Silcott, you would probably get a lot of this, the way that you hunt in Kentucky is quite different than how you would hunt here. Here in Arizona, you would do more of a, what's called a spot and stalk. You know, you glass, you find them, focus in on it, try to set up for a shot. In Kentucky, you try to set up on sign, and you got to pay attention to wind direction, and it's an up, usually more up close. Here, you know, you're shooting out for quite a while, got a pretty long shot. There, most of the hunting, at least where I was at, is 100 yards or under, right? So it's a whole different tactic in how you approach it. So one of the things that we would do to try to get set up where we felt like it was a good sign, we felt like there was deer in the area, where the wind direction was right, depending on which stand location that we're going to, is that we would go in under the cover of darkness, right? We would always go in the dark, usually would try to be in the stand set up at least an hour before the sun comes up. Done that for years. Like to be there first thing in the morning and be set up where I want to be. But you know, the other thing about the woods is that it's pretty dark. And so there's two things that I think are helpful. You got to know where you're going, what direction you're going in. But second of all, it's always helpful to have a good light. Now, you don't want a light that's just going to light up the whole woods and scare everything within a two-mile radius. But you do want a light that at least is going to show the next step of where you're going. And maybe light the path down just a little bit, right? So we always kept good lights. You always kept a backup light. You want to have a backup light. What if your light goes out? Or what if your buddy, you know, he forgot his light? My friend Josh bailed me out several times. A couple times I bailed him out. But you want to have a good light. Something to be, give you some direction. Something so you know where you step. Something so you know you don't step on a timber rattler. Amen. So it's always good to have some light. Do you know what happens in life, friend, when you don't have a good light? Sometimes you can fall into some trouble. Sometimes there might be a tree root or something, Roger, that you may stumble upon. Sometimes there might be just something in the way. Maybe there's a drop-off and you really don't want to go in that direction. Now, if you really think about that, friend, what helps you avoid that? Well, you need a good light. You need a good direction. And that's what the Bible does for us. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Part of that is that it's critical for us to understand, church, that's why we should always be in the Word of God. How can you come to church today? How can you wake up tomorrow and tell me that you have guidance and you know what it is that God wants you to do if you've not turned on the light? If you've not opened up the Word of God and got some direction from the Bible, got some light and instruction from the Word of God, it's kind of difficult for us to say, I know where I'm going. That's why we encourage and emphasize personal devotions. That's why we encourage and emphasize get into the Bible yourself and read the Word of God. Somebody was just telling me the other day, and he said, Pastor, I've never been in a place that just opened up the Bible like we do here and expound and teach on the Bible. I've just never experienced that before. And their other comment was that I believe they said, I love that. Right? Isn't that good? But you know what? The Bible is also different because it is a guide for us. The other reason why the Word of God is different, you understand that the Bible is also a cleanser. The Bible is also a cleanser. Psalms 119 and verse 9. Psalms 119 and verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to what? Thy word. Taking heed thereto according to thy word. So, Pastor, I've got some things that need cleaning up in my life. Well, a good place to start is right here in the Word of God. Good place to start is right here in the Word of God. I know people that we've talked to all the time, and sometimes people get into the place. Now, first of all, let me, before I go on to that, if somebody's here, never been saved by the grace of God, doesn't matter how far you think that you are away from God, doesn't matter what's happened in your life, doesn't matter what's done, hey, the Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So God will do that. God will do what He says that He will do, right? But after that, friend, we still have to let the Word of God cleanse our lives. We still have to, by the Word of God, teach us to clean up our lives. So the Bible tells us here, how shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto. That thought, taking heed, paying attention to, right? If I told you that there's danger up ahead, if I told you that you're on a road and the bridge is out, you're going to certainly pay attention to something like that. My friend, there's a lot of danger out there. There's a lot of temptation there. There's a lot of sin that we can fall into, or again, some things that need cleaned up in our life. Take heed according to thy word. The last thing I'll mention about the Word of God is the Word of God is also true. The Word of God is also true. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. You know, friend, I'm glad to know that there's something that I can believe in. I'm glad to know that I got a copy of the Word of God, and I know that what is in this book is real. What is in this book is genuine. There's nothing in here that's misleading. Now, sometimes I've read parts of that and I don't get it, but it's not because of the Bible itself. It's because of my lack of understanding, right? Hey, listen, I understand. Sometimes you read and study things. I can't tell you that I could just take any particular text and expound on that. Probably a big portion of it. I would say, you know, let me read into that study. I may have to seek counsel. I may have to get a little bit of help on the subject. But you know, friend, the problem is not with the Bible. It's with the Word of God is true. The Word of God is right. Don't you think that it's good to know in the day that we live in? I mean, you hear things all the time. We mention those studies. What about our politicians? How many of you think that everything a politician says is true? Dana said he doesn't think none of it's true. I mean, you know, you have these people that campaign and they have a good slogan, and maybe they're good speakers, and they have ways of drawing crowds. They have charisma. But at the end of the day, you really don't know what they're saying is true. Seems like they tell us exactly what we want to hear, or the target or the people that they're targeting, they tell us what they want to hear, and then they get in office and boy, things start to seem to change. Sometimes you even see, you know, they're charged up, ready, you know, they're going to do their part to fix the country, and then they just become like every old politician there after they've been there so long. What I'm saying is that you don't know what they're saying is true or not. You can know with confidence, friend, that the Word of God is true. Let's all stand to our feet, every head bowed, every eye closed. Ask the pianist to come. I can't tell you that I have exhausted all the reasons. In fact, I know I haven't. I've just given you a few tonight on reasons why the Word of God is different than anything else that has ever been written in the history of mankind. And tonight, part of the goal in this particular subject is to help you to get a desire, to help you get a longing, a thirst for the Word of God. You've got something that's real. You've got something that's pure. You got something that is alive. You got something that is eternal. Right here, friend, it is a privilege to be able to have a copy of the Word of God. There's places in the world today that would not allow you openly to have a Bible. There's places in the world today that would persecute you or even kill you if they found that you had a copy of the Word of God or even a copy on your phone. Aren't you glad that you live in a place where we can openly read and study the Word of God? Friend, never take that for granted. Don't neglect that privilege that God has given you. You never know when they're going to try to take it away, and I wouldn't be surprised if they did so very soon. Love and appreciate the Word of God. Maybe tonight, friend, I don't know what your need is. God spoke to your heart, whatever that need is. Folks are already praying. Maybe you've got a need. You want to come down to the altar. Is there anybody here tonight, every head bowed, every eye closed, that would say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you pray for me?" Anybody at all? We certainly don't want to rob you of an opportunity, church. If that's you tonight, would you slip up your hand and let us pray for you? What about, would you say tonight, "Preacher, God's burdened me about being a better student of the Bible, about learning the Scriptures, about meditating on the Scriptures, about memorizing the Scriptures, knowing the Scriptures, as the Bible says, ready always to give an answer to every man the reason of hope that is in you." If that's you tonight, would you slip up your hand and let us pray for you? Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. I see those hands. You may put them down. Anybody else before we pray? I'm going to pray for you exactly as we said. Anybody else before we pray? You can put your hand down. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else before we pray? Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we're so thankful. God, thank you for allowing us to be in church tonight. Lord, thank you for having the privilege of your Word, having a copy of the Word. Lord, let us not take that for granted. Lord, as several lifted their hands and said that they have a desire to have a deeper knowledge and understanding of your Word. Lord, they want to have a passion for your Word. They want to be better students of the Word. And God, I pray that you would touch those, especially those who lifted their hands that have expressed that desire. God, we know that's an honorable request. We know that's a request that would please you. And I especially pray for those who lifted their hands, God. You know their hearts. You know their desire. Bless them for that. Help them with that. And Father, we thank you again for what you're doing at this church. And God, we can do nothing but give you praise and glory. Father, thank you again for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you for Calvary. These things we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And thank you, church, and God bless you. Appreciate you being faithful.